Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
In a remote African jungle, a small monkey is captured. Bound for a pet store in America, the animal carries a deadly virus.
Now, I know that some of us have doubts about what we're about to do. We'd be less than human if we didn't. But the fate of the nation, perhaps the world, is in our hands. We cannot, we dare not refuse this burden. I'm confident that each of you will do his duty. God forgive us.
Your town is being quarantined.
We got 19 dead. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a brush fire.
What are you talking about?
If one of them's got it, then 10 of them have got it now. And if one of them gets out of Cedar Creek, we have a very interesting problem.
If that bug gets out of there, 260 million Americans will be dead or dying.
I'm leaving with the team in an hour.
From the heart of a small California town.
Damn it, Sam. I want to save these people same as you.
To the inner circle of power in Washington.
The most optimistic projection for the spread of the virus is this. 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours.
The greatest medical crisis of all time.
We can't stop it.
Begins.
Try to remain calm.
Many people are dying and are going to continue to die unless we find this monkey.
There will be panic the likes of which we have never seen.
There you are.
Portland
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your Jap's old brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am A.J. Orsini, and in case you have not gotten the memo, folks, the world is coming to an end. That's it. It's over. Get all of your affairs in order. This is a done deal, folks. Our fates are sealed. If you were an asshole in life, get ready for the hot summer days of hell. And for those of you who are like me and live your lives in purity and innocence, get ready for the fellatio-filled gates of heaven. This is the end of days, ladies and gentlemen, and I got evidence of it. I have evidence that this is going to be the end of days. I mean, Jesus Christ, the British Bulldog is going into the Hall of Fame. That is clear evidence that hell has clearly left the air conditioning on. And now we are living in a whole new world, folks. This is episode 131. I don't even know what the hell I'm going to call this episode. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But I do know that I will not be alone for this ride. This is going to be a fun time, folks, because as I told you last week, and I told you actually a few weeks ago, I experimented last week, but I told you a few weeks ago, I got this new little setup in my house, so the guests are just going to be flying in. Last week, I was blessed, honored, privileged to have the founder of 2BeSeen.com on my show, Mr. Joe Pombo, and tonight, I bring another old friend, another familiar voice to the scene here of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I refer to him as the wizard to my Oz, the voice behind the curtain. This is the man that has set Orsini on the path of podcast kingdom here in the House of O. I love having him on the show because he always brings it, and I know tonight, I handpicked this man for tonight's topic, for tonight's discussion. Of course, the late, the great,
Stephen James. Steve, are you there?
Oh, I'm here and I'm hot.
Yes.
I'm hot.
Absolutely PO'd. If you haven't followed Steven on his pod, on his post recently on his social media, I'm sorry, that's on my end there. He's not happy about the way the world is spinning right now on its axis. Coronavirus, COVID-19, as the cool kids call it, Steven. What exactly is your problem, bro, with this fucking virus?
My problem isn't necessarily with the virus, seeing as it's not something that can communicate.
That is me again. I'm sorry. I keep clicking the same damn button. I'm getting the same result. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to break your flow.
No, you're a popular person. That's why the Pot of O is such a mega storm that will outlive.
Yeah, I have
this
to actually close this out because it's going to keep happening. Sorry. All right. That's done. The floor is yours. What is your beef? What is your rivalry with COVID-19?
It's just the people and the silliness that it's, you know, we're going to shut everything down. And I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, the specifics of things being shut down.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of places saying, oh, you can't have gatherings of more than 250 people. So what? Those 250 people are screwed? If it's that serious of an epidemic, which it's not, because mind you, I've been on the frickin' subways in New York City back and forth for the entire week. I feel frickin' great because I'm not a jerk. I know how to wash my hands and bathe and be just not cough in people's faces. Plus, I'm not elderly and my immune system isn't compromised. So guess what, folks? If I get sick, I'll drink water, I'll have NyQuil, and I'll shut the fuck up.
Will you deactivate your social media? You're washing your hands, but are you wiping your ass?
Yes, I am, because I, like a normal person, have toilet paper and stay stuff because I like to eat food and I like to shit. I like that. And as someone who shit in a hole intermittently for 10 years, being in the military, having to dig my own crapper and shit in various
places, appreciate TP.
I will say this. If you're going to stay home anyway because you're quarantined because of this end-of-the-world virus, you got this thing in your house called a shower. You got this thing in your backyard called a garden hose. Wash your ass that way instead of spending $9 on toilet, or one single roll of toilet paper. Get out of here.
I might be a freak about this, right? I'm not exactly what you would clarify a germaphobe, I don't think, like based on the loose definition of it. But I will say this. I don't feel right, we'll say, for a lack of a better term, just using the paper. My wife gets upset with me all the time. Well, not recently, because we're so deep into our marriage now, I don't think I could do anything that could really irritate her that bad. But, like, in the beginning stages, I shower after every shit. It's just a personal thing with me. Like, if I'm outside, I try not to go. If I have to go, I go. I'm a human. If I have to go, I gotta go. But I try to hold it or try to make it back to my home, because if I go outside and I do my business, there's no amount of wiping in the world that will make me feel clean again. I have to take a shower. So when I'm listening to people, oh, I may not have access to toilet paper. How do I wipe my ass? Is this really that big of a... That to me is more of a pandemic than the virus, is it not? Like, you're not able to wipe your own ass without TP? This is going to hurt you?
There are also these things called baby wipes. Look, if toilet paper is so expensive right now, I had this great idea. Go to a thrift shop, right? Buy a 10-cent t-shirt and wipe your ass with that and then throw it away.
You know what? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It just, people make me sick with the level of stupidity. Now, I get why people have bidets, and I get people who jump in the shower after. Yeah. Is the most available thing to do. Baby wipes another option, but to go nuts. I understand people getting bottled water, because if you're going to be in the house, you want water,
right?
Sure. But some common decency. You also have a tap. Being someone who grew up in the projects of Brooklyn, if it's brown, drink it down. If it's black, send it back. That's how the water works. Okay?
I'm going to get that tattooed on my back. That's a very... that's a nice tagline. And it's one to live by. We went to... BJ's today, but for the record, this was the scheduled day to do it, before all this thing hit. So you hear on the news all this stuff about the stocking up and people look like they were getting ready for an earthquake, right? They're pulling all the shit off the shelves. We get to BJ's. BJ's is practically, bro, I've never seen BJ's as empty in my life. I was able to go through aisle without walking through the walkways. You can go underneath things because it was just so open. And all the stuff that usually would be on top that they would bring down to restock the bottom, tops are empty. It looked like people were getting ready for a fucking hurricane. And it's funny because, like you said, you just went to the corner store before we went on the air here. I go to my corner store. I go to my CVS's near me and all that stuff. All the stock is there. No one's hurting on the lower end. Everyone went to Costco and BJ's and bought all this overwhelmingly bulky shit for their homes because they're about to get the sickness. They're about to get the Heineken sickness.
God. And for those people who don't know, BJ's is not a Hooters that offers extra. It's a wholesale, like, grocery store.
Yeah, to be specific. Like, thank you. Yes, exactly.
That's very large amount. You don't need that much. If you're buying like 6,000 or 7,000 rolls of toilet paper, you might have a problem. I've seen people trying to sell rolls on Facebook Market. It's ridiculous.
there was a family wearing the masks, the little breathable mask thing, and they had four BJ carts. And for those of you who don't know, BJ's carts are like overwhelmingly large as it is, right? They're like oversized carts, and they had four of them, bro, filled. Top, even that little bottom thing, all bottled water. It's like they went to BJ's and just bought bottled water. That's it.
You know, they could just boil their own at home. There's this thing called heat, and this water that comes out.
Unless they don't have it.
You know, you can make it happen.
Did the corona take that from them too?
Apparently, they had to take out all the pipes because they're no longer shitting anymore. So,
oh, my God. So, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get caught up in these hot button issues and all stuff. I don't normally talk about stuff like this on this show, but I wanted to definitely talk about this with you because I know how passionate you feel about it. But you're also, when you're not perusing the wrestling world as a professional, when you're not cursing out people on Facebook over certain viruses, you're also a bit of a sportsman. You dabble a bit in the sports world. Am I right in that indication?
A touch, yes.
So, I'm going to be real with my audience right now. I don't know anybody who's inflicted with this disease, so I've kind of stayed away from it. I've watched it from afar. And you hear the news, you hear the hot button issue, not just the social media stuff. I don't believe in any of that stuff, you know. But even on the news, you know, you hear about a case here, a case there, it's rising, blah, blah, blah. You're like, all right. You and I are old enough. We've seen this episode of television before. It's like, all right, cool. Talk to me about your reaction when the late night news hit that the NBA would be canceling its season.
I get why they would cancel a couple of games while they implement, you know, perhaps some more stringent things. Because here's the thing, when it comes to professional athletes, it's a little bit different because they're sweating on each other. They're in very close contact.
Absolutely.
Now, if they're taking, if staff is technically more infectious than corona,
right.
So you know, take the same precautions. Now if they were doing those empty arena games that they were going to do, I would be fine with that. But to cancel the whole season, a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money. I went to my first NBA game 6 days ago.
I saw that on your social media. Yes.
So it's like, I was there, I don't care. If I'm gonna die, guess what, I'm gonna die anyway at some point. You all are stupid.
Yeah, but people like to live their life through the image that they have control over that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, though.
I'm more upset that finally, my hockey team, the New York Rangers, are playing well, and of course the NHL cancels the season.
Right,
too.
That's where I was headed next, because the NBA, for those of you who aren't following, is not the only sports organization that has done so. The NBA has done it. National Hockey League has done it. If I'm not mistaken, the soccer league, MLS, has done it. I've gotten word from a few of my people who, because I used to work with security over at Yankee Stadium, so I'm still friends with a lot of people. They're receiving word that they may not be asked back for the beginning of Major League Baseball's season. Now, they haven't made any official announcements. I'm not breaking any news here. I'm just letting you guys know what I know from people who work in the building who are telling me that they're being put on notice. No official decision has been made. Major League Baseball. Do you foresee baseball falling in line with the rest of these organizations?
If they're smart, yes, because one, it's a 168-game season, so canceling it is a little bit ridiculous. Postponing it a little bit, pushing it back a few weeks is fine. Because from a business perspective, you don't want to be the last one to do it and be the only one open and then something happens. That being said, if it was an empty arena or empty ballpark, think about it. The XFL just canceled their whole season, the rest of their season, from what I've heard. If they were playing this Saturday, every single sports fan who would normally be watching something else would be watching that one because there's no sports on. But then the casual fans who want to see what that experience looks like is going to check that out. So they could have made millions of dollars off of that. Is that profiteering? You know, when you're in the wrestling business, it's all about money. If it don't make dollars, if it don't make sense, don't make dollars. Give it to me. I want all the money. I'll run a show right now.
There's a lot of conversation taking place right now where we're finding out now where the line is on that. I'm going to be honest with you. I never thought in a million years I would see millionaires and billionaires who own these sports organizations. I never thought they'd go through and pull the trigger on a full-on cancellation. I thought they were going to lean more doing these games in an empty arena before we ever close it down completely, because at least they can still do television stuff with that, revenue with sponsors and that TV ads and yada, yada, yada. Like, not cut their wallets off completely. Does this speak more to... I'll phrase it like this. With all this information coming out about COVID-19 and all this stuff, and the flu-like symptoms and everything that's been coming out, it feels like the communication has been real. It feels like the communication has been somewhat authentic across the board. But doesn't it also feel a little bit, am I the only one who feels like this, where I still feel like there's something I don't know? Because for this to be described the way that it is by so many people, how it's flu-like symptoms, that's very manageable. If you're elderly or if you're a toddler or whatever, you're at higher risk. But we've never been in, I can't recall the situation where sports across the board, other than what, 9/11, where just sports across the board is just literally shutting down. I have people who work with the Department of Education here in New York. They've already made plans to go ahead and for the future down the line, we may be doing online thing. Everyone here who follows the show know that I'm in school right now. I am attending a CUNY. My CUNY schools have all been shut down, which is a whole other bag of shit for me, because now I've got 80-year-old professors who don't know how to lower the volume on YouTube trying to prepare 2 months of online material for us to hopefully read and pass. So this is systematic shutdowns here. Are we past the, well, social media is out of hand thing, or do they just know something we don't?
No, because I think that a part of it is no one wants this in the social media age. No one wants to get left behind. Everyone wants to be seen as, I don't want to look like a fool saying this is wrong, and then, you know, it blows up. So I think a lot of it is people just trying to play it better safe than sorry. Here's the thing. The facts that we know about this virus so far is it only affects people with compromised immune systems, the elderly, and people who are pre-positioned to have respiratory illnesses. If you're not that person, the likelihood of it being fatal to you is very slim. Can you transmit it? Yes. So what do? You don't take you take basic care of yourself. You don't cough on people. You wash your hands. Basic sanitary things. I definitely don't remember a time in my lifetime other than 9/11 where things were just completely shut down. Do I think that there's something more to be said here? I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't think that it's more dangerous. I think that if we found out something more, it would be, oh, well, you know, this happened because someone busted a vial here. I don't think that it might necessarily be an organic thing. It might have been made in the laboratory. I'm not saying conspiracy-wise, but things like this happen. Accidents happen. I just think that is blown way out of proportion, and the domino effect has continued. I also am now in school, but it fell right on my spring break, so all they did was extend spring break a week. So I don't know what's going on. The school is not saying anything. I think they're trying to wait and see if this whole thing blows over. I think this is going to go on for another couple of months, unfortunately.
Yeah, my CUNY, and from what I understand, both CUNY and SUNY schools are closed for the remainder of the semester. And that runs all the way deep down to the end of May on our end here. So this is going to – you want to talk about complications. That's going to cause some complications. Part of my assignments for my classes require field work. So I have to go into schools, and now we're hearing news that DOE is making plans just in case they get the word they may have to shut down. So that fucks me double on that end. A lot of closures, a lot of things going down. You made mention of it twice now, and I'll go back to it in reference so that we can talk a little bit more about that. For those who are elderly, for those who do have chronic or previous history of respiratory issues, or even the severely young who may be susceptible to this, are, while yes, people like you and me, this may not affect, are there enough of those who are susceptible to still remain in the pandemic category? Is there something, is there enough people who can't, who are at risk for us to still somewhat take this somewhat seriously?
I think we take it seriously in the regard of it's, we have to protect those people. But as far as, you know, changing lifestyles completely and shutting down all people from going yeah. to certain places and stuff like that, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. But that being said, look out for your grandmas and grandpas yeah. and your old uncles and anybody over 60 right now. And you know, people with compromised immune systems, maybe stay away from them for a while. Have them quarantine themselves and, yeah. you know, pick up on them via the telephone.
You don't have to see grandma tomorrow, guys. It's all right.
If you want to see her next week, don't see her tomorrow.
If you want to see her next week, don't see her tomorrow. That is the tagline of both Love and Hate. I love that. That was so poetic the way you just dropped that. I could see that being typed out over the picture of a kitten hanging on a string or something. That was great. That was very motivational. If you want to see her next week, leave her alone tomorrow. That was very, very dumb. We're going to transition this into the wrestling world because this, well, apparently affect the wrestling world as well. I've been very bold. I've been very forward and very committal to the idea that they will not cancel WrestleMania. I just don't believe that there is a single fucking way that that will happen. However, recent news have come out here from the mayor of Florida, not mayor, excuse me, the governor of Florida, who have made statements throughout the media throughout the course of the day, most important of which was his Fox News interview where he made the comment that he is strongly recommending. Now, before I get into strongly recommended, because he did mention also in this interview, he does not have the power, believe it or not, the governor does not have the power to shut these events down. A lot of these events are privately funded, privately owned. There's nothing he can really do about it. But he is recommending, wink, wink, that these venues and these promoters and these people involved with these events second-guess themselves and, wink, wink, do the right thing, wink, wink. And he is calling for a supposed, wink, wink, recommended, wink, wink, 30-day ban on all major events that would involve large crowds and large amounts of people all congregating in one area. That is not a cancellation. However, it does sound more like they might be leaning towards a postponement. Which one would you rather have when it comes to an event like WrestleMania? Do you think it's a popular move or a smart move to go with the full-on cancellation, or are you more in support of a possible postponement?
Well, WrestleMania will never be canceled. Let's put that out there, period. It'll never be canceled. There will always be a WrestleMania until WWE goes out of business.
Yeah, basically.
There's always one every year. Whether or not it's in March or in April or, hell, it could be in December. It doesn't matter. There will always be a WrestleMania. So I think that cancellation is not an option. I think that postponement is an option. But as of right now, I think that they're going to go ahead with it. I think that, and if we're going back to 9/11 again to draw a parallel, remember that SmackDown taping was the first public gathering.
And it was on schedule. It was Thursday.
Say that again?
It was on schedule, too. They didn't delay it. They had it on the actual day, yeah.
And notice Friday Night SmackDown, not going to be canceled. What they're doing is they're moving it to the Performance Center. So the WWE has a responsibility to its business, to the people who work there, and yes, to the crowd as a whole. But if you're not going to shut them down, Vince McMahon is the kind of guy who will be like, unless you explicitly tell me that I cannot do this by law,
right,
I'm going to do it. And even if you tell me that, if I can find a way around it, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's never going to be canceled.
Even if it's not canceled, let's say for the sake of argument, this thing runs without a hitch, right? Same date, same time, as scheduled. Does this situation give them a hit in their attendance? Do you think the draw will be less than it would have been had we not had this epidemic?
I think that's a possibility, but I think wrestling fans are stubborn enough that they'll keep going.
Or uncaring enough. They just don't care. It's like, I'm going to go.
And it's a once-in-a-lifetime event for a lot of people. Some people aren't blessed enough to go to multiple WrestleManias. I went to my first one just last year. So for some people, some kids, some older fans, it's a dream come true to them. So, you know, they're already – is the WWE or the, you know, City of Tampa going to reimburse people's flights, their hotels, you know, any of that kind of stuff? So people would be more inclined as hell. I'd pay money is a huge motivator.
Absolutely.
Hell, I paid for it is a phrase that I've said so many times. Well, hell, I paid for it, so I'm going to do it anyway.
Exactly. I paid for it. Fuck it.
I just feel bad for the companies that were surrounding WrestleMania weekend who are feeling the pressure. Because while the WWE may be able to keep people going to it despite what the governor says is recommended, smaller companies will not be able to fight back past that.
That's exactly where I'm headed next. You are the play-by-play, the voice, so to speak, here of Capital Wrestling. You know what it's like to put your blood, sweat, and tears into the work of a professional wrestling independent company. You and I have shared the same space on many professional occasions. I know where I stand on this. I am curious to know where Stephen James stands on the idea of the, 47, 62 different indie companies that breastfeed off of the teat of WrestleMania, so many venues booked, so many plane ride tickets given out for this whole weekend. What does it start now, Wednesday or Thursday night going into the WrestleMania weekend here? If we run into a postponement, how fucked are these indie companies going to be? Do you think any of them are able to reschedule? Do you think any of these companies are just basically just fucked over here? What are your overall thoughts on these indie companies putting all their eggs into this one basket?
I think a lot of them are going to unfortunately be screwed, and a lot of the performers are going to be ultimately screwed because it's a great chance for exposure. You know, the wrestling universe converges around WrestleMania's orbit to see other talent. It's become almost as big as Mania itself in terms of the scope and breadth of how much stuff is going on. There's a lot of companies who will not be able to recoup that loss and will not be able to do it if they postpone it a week or 10 days because, one, that other venue might be booked for something else. Some other show might already be booked there. Mm-hmm. Number two, that performer might be booked on another show. So your card has to change. There's so many moving pieces. So I say that as far as Indie Mania at WrestleMania, 90% of that, unless they're going to stick to their guns and go that weekend and make that WrestleMania, they're kind of screwed.
What are your thoughts on the overall plan or idea? Because every time you and I turn around, a lot of indie companies pride themselves on trying to be alternatives to the WWE formula or the WWE format. And here we are, biggest night of the year for the WWE, somehow translating now into being one of the biggest weekends in independent wrestling for the year. Should these this is a hard question to ask, I'm sure, because you're still doing this, and I'm just now getting back in myself, but being real and giving our own real, honest opinions here, we're uncensored. What are your thoughts on the overall thought process from these companies in the first place? Because a lot of companies that run on that weekend don't even exist in Florida. They're out-of-town companies that are literally flying in or driving in just to capitalize on WrestleMania weekend. Is this something that wrestling, you know, in your humble opinion, both someone who's experienced in wrestling and business, is it financially smart for a lot of these companies to be putting all of their eggs financially into this literal one basket?
For some, yeah, sure, because, you know, we ran a WrestleMania show on the day of WrestleMania last year, and
that's not the same. They ran WrestleMania in your base.
In our base.
North Jersey.
And I was on the show and going to WrestleMania as well.
Yes,
so,
yes, awesome.
But we filled the place, so there is an audience for it there. Here's the thing. Companies want to pretend that they want to be the alternative to WWE, and that might be fair, but what they don't want to be the alternative to is WWE's money, and they will suckle on that tree as much as humanly possible. For some companies, it makes sense, especially if you have the name branding where people know you, your higher level independence. But if you're an outlaw shindy with no name recognition outside of your own county, and you're trying to pick up and put your eggs in that basket to go down to Florida, unless you have, you know, Superman fighting Batman in your main event, it's not going to happen. Because
that's undercard. Come on. Yeah, exactly. It's been played to death.
Who'd Batman ever beat?
Word. Who'd he ever put over? Fucking Batman. What a selfish prick that guy is. Wouldn't even put his parents over, fucking asshole. I actually, me and you very rarely ever disagree. I've said it from day one. I don't think they're going to cancel it. I'm not actually opposed to the postponement, because now I'm getting to a point now. Listen, you and I have been talking so far, 30 minutes about this whole thing. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not scared. I'm not really even nervous because of everything that we just discussed. It's already been explained. But as a father, which is something I'm sure you understand very well, as a father, as a husband, I have my concerns, because if I got sick, or if my wife got sick, or if my son got sick, are we going to survive? Yes. But, you know, overall, in general, forget Corona for a second. I don't like my family sick, period. I don't want them to have the flu. I don't want my wife to get cramps. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to protect my family from as much as possible. So I'm not really worried. I'm not worried. I'm not nervous. I'm not scared. But I am concerned, because there's a lot of red flags coming at us. And I know most of it's bullshit. So that's why I'm not nervous about it. But enough, actually, for me to be concerned. We did do the shopping. My house is set. House of O is a fortress of solitude, my friend. There is no COVID-19, 18, or 17 down the line. None of those fuckers are getting into this house. I'm not even fucking worried about it. But as far as the wrestling aspect of it, I'm not even opposed to the postponement, as long as everything can be cleared and be checked and everybody can be safe. But this show's happening. There is absolutely no way around it. And one of the biggest events that happens just before the big show is a little thingy they like to call the Hall of Fame. Now, I gotta get your fucking thoughts on this. I have to, because I'm sure if there's anybody who absolutely knows what I am about to say because of a general feeling, that it's gonna be you. Okay, so far, obviously, the names that we have here for this year's class Hall of Fame, we've got the Bellas, we've got the NWO, this is the NWO with Hall, Nash, X-Pac, and Hogan, if I'm correct, right? Hogan is also going in with this group?
Yes, even though he did not appear when
Raw,
they
right,
did.
Yeah. Because he's in the gym, brother. He's getting ready for the big comeback.
You know it.
We've got, I believe, is JBL official for this? I'm not entirely sure.
No, I don't think was announced.
Okay,
I've heard
rumor. Rumor, right. Batista is our headliner for this particular class.
Now, JBL is, in fact, confirmed now.
He is confirmed. Okay. Which is not breaking news for this show. I think he was announced a while ago. I wasn't sure. Batista, of course, heading the class. What I need to get your thoughts on here, my God in heaven, because this is opening up a can of worms, and we need to discuss this. There's one guy, above most, I'll say, who's been talked about for the Hall of Fame for years. Years he's been talked about. And since I already blew my copyright properties with the opening, I might as well go ahead and hype myself up with a little bit of background. The man's getting in. He's finally getting in. All the naysayers, all the people who have been doubting the WWE, Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, is going in to the Hall of Fame. Stephen James, I know you're well-versed in the world of British Bulldog. What are your thoughts on this announcement Davey Boy Smith, finally our heart member not named Brett is and not named Jim is getting into the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts, sir?
Long overdue. You know, I became a fan of Davey Boy when it was him and Dynamite Kid with the British Bulldogs early on. As a kid, you know, Intercontinental Champion, European Champion, Hardcore Champion, Tag Team Champion. The only thing that he didn't win was the big belt. He had that, you know, amazing moment in Wembley Stadium. Long overdue. I just wish that it would have happened while he was still with us. Obviously, he's passed many years ago.
Many years.
Had he still been here, I really think that WrestleMania in England, which I really hope that it happens for that audience at some point, that would have been a great place to induct him.
That would have been awesome, yeah.
So.
Overdue. I have been hearing that word. I think they made the official announcement either this morning or yesterday. I can't remember. By the way, we're filming this Thursday night for point of reference. Because I got shit to do the next 2 days. I don't have time. And Steven was available tonight, so this worked out great. Overdue is a word that I hear a lot when it comes to his induction. It's long overdue. It's long overdue. In your opinion, why do you think it took so long to get here?
I think, one, personal problems and some of the things that he had, whether it be drug-related or arrests or assaults that he had throughout his career and tenure. And from what I understand, he wasn't exactly the easiest person to negotiate contracts with and to get along with in that regard. And as you know, in general, the Hart family satellite is often filled with, you know, as we've reported and seen throughout the years, filled with drama and filled with, you know, different cliques, pun definitely intended. So I think that might have been the reason why. But now that Brett is in, now that Jim is in, now that, you know, Natalya is going to be a Hall of Famer, I think David Hart Smith, you know, Jr., as he's been doing very well, might make his way back to the WWE. I think that it's one of those things where all of those things you realize don't matter anymore, and time to celebrate his work, which deserves to be celebrated.
A lot of the scuttlebutt in the industry when it comes to someone like Owen Hart is that a lot of the reason why Owen never got in is because of Martha. Do you believe that there was a member on the inside that was preventing this induction from happening previously?
I can't really speak to that personally, as far as, you know, whether or not somebody was holding that back. Either way, you can only
I know you don't have him on speed dial. We're pontificating here.
Unless it's Vince, there is not a single person who is going to be able to keep that person or any person out of the WWE Hall of Fame. If Vince McMahon tomorrow said, I want Chris Benoit in the Hall of Fame, guess what, folks? Chris Benoit is getting into the Hall of Fame.
He's getting in. That's it. First ballot.
All of his stockholders could be like, this is a terrible idea. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. But guess what? He's getting in. If Butterbean isn't already in the Hall of Fame, I'm sure Butterbean can get in.
He is.
So. Is he?
Yes.
He's already in?
Yes. Oh. I forgot what year, but I definitely remember him getting inducted because I just remember all the bullshit that happened, you know, fan-wise, discussion-wise about him getting in. He was one of those Drew Carey picks. You know, and so I definitely, yes, he is definitely in. I wish I could, you know, as we're discussing, I'll do the old Google here and figure out exactly what year it was. But, yeah, him getting in for me personally, I got to be honest with you. I loved him. I loved him when he was a performer. I loved his work. Everyone points to Wembley Stadium. I'll point to the December In Your House match that he had with Brett. 1995, if anybody has a chance, the Hershey Park Arena, if you ever get a chance to check that out. That's one of my favorite British Bulldog matches, literally, of all time. And he just, overall, his work was just so fantastic. I actually felt, I'm not going to say bad, but I actually felt some type of way when I started hearing more about some of those issues that you touched on His personal issues, a lot of stuff going on at home when he had the back injury after that horrendous Nitro situation with the trap door and all that stuff. Again, if you guys, if we're too inside, start your Googling because I'm not going to explain it to you. There's some issues that happened over in WCW that led to the big back injury. And, you know, he was, you know, they had the situation with the alcohol, the drugs. There was just some domestic violence stuff that happened in the home. There was a long list of things that were happening in the Smith home that I'm sure made him seem like persona non grata. And I always knew that regardless of how many issues he had, he would always go in before Owen. Because I still believe to this day, Owen ain't getting in until Martha is gone. And to be honest with you, I don't think the kids are too fond of the WWE either. But Martha, for sure, will never, ever, ever, ever let that shit happen. And if you think I'm wrong, get ready, because this chick has a promo lined up for your asses. Dark Side of the Ring, check that shit out when it drops, because she is about to lay flame to the entire Hart family, kid. I can't wait to see how that shit happens, because I want to know the fucking story, because I know that she's been pissed off. She's been very verbal about the WWE for a long time, so I cannot wait to see how that rolls out. My next question to you, though, Steve. Davey Boy is getting in. Who is inducting Davey Boy Smith?
The likely scenario is likely Brett.
No way.
Although I would prefer
that after that Jamaican spear he took last year, he's not going back to the Hall of Fame.
I think that he will, just to prove a point. If there's anything Bret Hart is, it's a stubborn, stubborn, stubborn man.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Well,
he'll be there standing with his nice little half grin and staring down anybody. I think that they'll go back to a different setup than what they had last year.
That was way too open, yeah. Way too open. Unless they go back to that same setup, but they have, like, Dash Wilder just on stage the whole time.
Just waiting. Just,
waiting to right-hand some bitch.
Love.
Listen, I've never seen a guy get so many locker room props in my life. From when he knocked that dude out on his ass with that damn right hand of God. It didn't get him a new contract, but by God, it got him a ton of respect.
Yeah, that'll keep his bank account warm.
Yeah, yeah. They're leaving, that's for sure. They've made that quite clear. Revival's out the door, but it was nice. It was a nice, nice, nice little run that the Revival had there. I'll give him that. I think they're up August.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do think that his son will wind up inducting him. His son or Brett. I don't think Natalya will,
they got to give that a break, Natalya.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get it. You're a Hart member. We understand. Yeah. You made a nice comment earlier that I actually didn't anticipate Natalya one day going in as a Hall of Famer. You believe that Natalya is a Hall of Fame worthy competitor?
Absolutely, 100%. There's no question to me as far as if you're judging it by work rate, she's in. If you're judging it on impact on her division, she's in.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're judging it on pedigree for name-wise, she's in. There's no way she doesn't get it.
Oh, I actually do agree. But I always thought I was in the minority in that. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just too high on myself. Maybe that's what that is. Oh. I got to get your thoughts, because listen – WrestleMania is right around the corner. We spoke a little bit about it earlier with the postponement. We talked about the Hall of Fame here. I have got to get your opinion on this shit. I know I'm being repetitive with that statement, but by God, Steve, I respect your opinion so goddamn much.
That one sounds good.
WrestleMania, I think for a while now on the show, I was calling it Pirate Mania because that was kind of the theme going into it, the Pirate Mania. I think I may have to change the name on that. I think that's not going to stick. It doesn't fit very well. Based on the way that this is shaping out, I'm going to go ahead and go forward with Part-Time Mania, because that's where we're living here. We're living in a world of part-time. Super. This entire card, with the exception of the women, is all part-timer versus current people. What happened, and I'll give you a direct example of what I'm about to ask you. Cena comes out just a few weeks ago, does this big hometown promo, and tells the world, you know, what's John Cena doing for WrestleMania, which, by the way, no one asked. You've been gone for forever. No one asked what you were doing for WrestleMania. Glad you felt the need to tell us anyway. And started this whole promo off telling the whole world that what he's going to do is respect the young guys in the locker room. He's not going to take up a spot. I'm not doing anything for WrestleMania. And then we wait 10 minutes, and he literally took a spot from a young guy on the WrestleMania card. It took all of 10 minutes to get that broken down. This is part-time, Randy. Every single match on this card thus far that's been announced is a part-timer versus a current roster member. Is this driving you nuts, or are you okay with this based on the way that it's been presented?
I'm okay with it only for this reason. They haven't done a good job in trusting their young guys to be stars and giving them the opportunity to do that. And giving them the opportunity to do that is not WrestleMania. It's in the build towards WrestleMania. If they're not important before they get to Mania, they're not going to be important at WrestleMania. I firmly believe that. And I think Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins is the only one besides Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman. Those are the only ones that don't have part-timers attached to it. But, you know, I want to see some of these matchups, so I'm okay with it. As far as the John Cena and the Bray Wyatt thing, John Cena, I'm fine with coming back because he still has gas in the tank. He still cuts a pretty good promo. And I wanted to see the ultimate good guy versus the nightmare of the Fiend. I'm not a huge fan of Goldberg, never have been, never will be, and that's a guy who I don't think you're getting diminishing returns bringing him back, and the Undertaker's got to retire. As much as I hate to say it, because I am a huge Undertaker mark, and yes, mark is not a dirty word, folks, to be a fan of something is okay, just don't be ridiculous about it. The Undertaker needs to go.
Oh. The man needs a AJ's promo stuck with you then? That's it? He's just an old man that's got to be put down?
It's just they're not putting him in a position where a guy, for me, the older you get, and from what I've seen and what I've heard from other professional wrestlers, is in order to, you can get older and still perform at a high level. You need the reps, though. You need to stay in ring shape. You need to continue to take bumps. You need to continue to stay in that mindset. Once you stop, and case in point, Kurt Angle, once he had that period off, he went from one of the best workers in the world to a shell of his former self. And he'll tell you himself, it's because of that break. It's because his body got used to not punishing itself quite so often. So I think if The Undertaker had come back like he said he was going to, I think this was 2 years ago, he's going to be back on SmackDown and it's going to be, you know, completely different. I think we would have been able to extend his longevity as far as quality in the ring, but we're not getting that now. But if anyone could, at this stage in their career, can get a match, a really good match out of somebody, AJ Styles is going to get a good match out of The Undertaker. But it has to be his last. I know he wants to go down and wants to end it with a fantastic match. I'm not saying a 6-star Dave Meltzer Super Tokyo Dome Mecca, you know.
Oh, he'll never get that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if he gets that match, I think he has to walk away. I think that has to be it. He has a great match with a guy like Styles. Here's the torch, and then bow out.
I'm going to go the controversial route. And the reason why I'm going that route is because I think people are missing the big picture on the part-timer involvement. I am okay with the part-timer involvement on one major hook. This is the only way that I'll accept this. Elsewise, this was a very, very bad, very, very poor decision, and it could be a costly one. I feel the WWE is in a situation where they've got to make the stars, and they've got to make them now. Because they've transitioned so many times. They've repackaged, new opening, new rings, new Titantron, whatever the case may be. No matter what you call it, sports entertainment, wrestling, pro wrestling, whatever, the content that people are purchasing, the product, is always in the ring. There's just no other way around it. That's the way that it is. And right now, you either have performers that can't do it, or they can, and you're not letting them. It's one of the two. You either have a super awesomely talented roster, which I believe that they do, and you're just lambasting them in this fucking formula that just isn't working in today's world, or you have the formula in place because you don't have the talent to do what the Austins and the Rocks and all those guys did off the top of their head. It's either or, right? So my thing about it is this. I'm okay with the part-timers if, and only if, the sole purpose of these part-timers being there is to get the shit kicked out of them and have this new brand of talent get over at their fucking expense.
Oh, yes.
I am okay with AJ and Taker if the goal of this matchup is to have Styles come out of this looking better than The Undertaker. Same thing with Goldberg and Reigns. Same thing with, believe it or not, Edge and Orton. Right? Edge and Orton is not a, it's one part-timer, which Edge is going to be moving forward, and a current roster member, but I obviously wouldn't consider Randy one of the young guys. Right? So your winner of that match, to be honest with you, is what intrigues me the most about that match. I can go either way. I get it that Edge would be a fantastic win for the big comeback and all that stuff, but let's remember, Edge didn't exactly go out on his back. Right? I mean, his last match was a world championship defense at WrestleMania. He didn't lose his last match. So it's not like he's owed anything here.
Taken from him. So I think had he
career was taken, yes, absolutely.
You know, that he might have done that. I just like the fact that it's a personal issue. Where did personal issues go in wrestling, and why is it finally between Edge and Randy Orton?
Which I think leads people some. That's why I included it in my analogy when I said you either have talent that can do it and you're handcuffing them, or you have talent that can't do it. And when you see Edge wake up from a 9-year nap and immediately get into a feud I care about, that's not exactly a good sign for what you have for today's product. Because are you telling me that this storyline is fantastic and Edge and Orton came up with this shit on their own? Did it come from a writer? Because if the best stuff you've got on TV is coming up from the wrestlers, what the fuck is the point of the writing team? Because they're not coming up with anything, obviously, that's interesting to the wrestling audience.
If you have a writing team that's not getting the job done, let them write the promos to tell you what town they're coming to next for a house show. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I've one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is AJ Styles. This isn't news to anyone. But even I will sit here and admit and tell you that I have been stunned and I have been shocked and awed that all of a sudden AJ Styles became a promo guy, because in TNA he was not.
He never was.
He was never a promo guy ever. He's the first one to tell you that. I've worked with him on promos. He will tell you promos is not exactly at the time anyway. It was not exactly his favorite fucking thing to do, right? But in the WWE, that formula that everyone kills works for him. That setup works for him. He feels easy. He feels calm. It's structured. It gives him places to go. It's very good system for him. But for the natural promo guy, a guy like a Kevin Owens, that system hurts more than it helps. We've seen Kevin Owens do some amazing programs in his career. Amazing. I honestly, aside from the Chris Jericho stuff, I have never seen him in an interesting program yet in WWE.
The only one, maybe his first appearance with him and John Cena. We thought it was going to be a paradigm shifting thing, and in the moment it kind of was, but then they backpedaled on it immediately, so ultimately it was squandered. But yeah, he doesn't fit into that. But AJ Styles being a good promo, being in this WWE box, also I think it's experience too. What I think for me personally, when you're at that 10-15 year mark is when people finally really start putting it together. A lot of these guys are super young, and while they've, you know, worked a lot on the indies, this is the first time for some people, especially in parts of NXT, where they're doing it at a high level with guys who are a different generation. Here on Raw, you were seeing a different generation between the two. So it's about how can the WWE and wrestling as a whole merge those generations. Like you were saying, these guys should be imparting wisdom onto them and going out on their backs to make new stars. Hopefully this is where it happens at WrestleMania. But like I said, if these people were not important before WrestleMania in the build to WrestleMania, and this is the second year in a row where the build has kind of happened, you know, sort of after Elimination Chamber for some of these matches, if you don't make them here, it might be a lost cause.
Yeah, and some of these guys that they would be putting over, they're current roster members, but AJ Styles is not a spring chicken. You know, Randy Orton's not a spring chicken. Some of the guys that are getting booked on this show, while current roster members, they're also veterans themselves. You know, Undertaker is not exactly putting over an NXT superstar here. This is a guy who, even if AJ pulls out the win here against The Undertaker, only has, what, 3 more years on his deal, and he's very, very vocal about the fact that that was the last contract he's going to be signing. He's going to be gone anyway. You know, and you've got the Lesnar match with Drew Gallow, with call him Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre, which, again, that's going to be a fantastic. That's why I'm not as hard on this card as a lot of people. I mean, that match is the only match I think anyone can universally as a whole sit here and say this match is going to be balls, probably Goldberg Reigns.
Yeah, because it seems very, very one-dimensional here. But yeah, I'm actually pretty excited for the call. Here's the thing. I'm always going to be excited for WrestleMania. It's just who I am and who a lot of who wrestling fans are. It's just the time of year. I think that we're overlooking the biggest folly of WrestleMania, and it goes to our central point that we were talking about. With the exception of the NXT Women's Championship, there is no NXT match currently booked for WrestleMania, and there should be. If you're saying that you need new stars, NXT is one of the hottest things going. Put a match there. Put that, you know, do the takeover and then parlay it into something else, some sort of big marquee match. The only reason why the NXT Championship is even getting on WrestleMania is because of Charlotte Flair.
Right.
Is because of the name value that she has, that she's trying to make Rhea Ripley, you know, more important, and by proxy, the NXT Women's Championship.
Well, it's ironic because I think Becky, Shayna, Charlotte, Rhea is a perfect example of what we really needed on this card, which was current talent that is experienced on a high level, putting over younger talent and giving them the not only the experience, but a little bit of that mainstream rub so that when they finally get called up, they're seen as stars immediately. You would think is the usual WrestleMania formula, no? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? I know Taker is, you know, he's the Undertaker, but Charlotte's in her prime right now. Becky's in her prime right now. They're not over the hill, and they're getting in there with competitors that are going to actually challenge and push them.
And both of them are coming off of main eventing WrestleMania the year before. So if you don't think that all four of these women have a chip on their shoulder wanting to be just as good as any other match on the card, you're out of your mind. Each one of them is fighting for their program to be the main event of WrestleMania. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, they got their one last year. Vince is probably sitting there, let's not get fucking crazy, okay? Look,
it's
listen.
I had to tell Brock Lesnar last year he, you know, wasn't the main event. So this year, that's going to be the main event.
I actually do believe Drew and Brock Lesnar will be the main event, but I think it needs to be for the same reason last year that I felt that match should have been last with Becky and Ronda and all that stuff. For as much as those women did throughout the year, I was so happy to see them get that main event. But this year, we need a new top star. Drew McIntyre is that star right now. They are building this up great. I love the segment with Lesnar. And first of all, can we give a round of applause to the body language of a Brock Lesnar with Drew McIntyre coming through the curtain, getting ready to confront Lesnar. And Lesnar had this, am I the only one that saw this? This face visibly of just visibly shaken, right? He was just like, all right, here comes this big guy. All right, big boy, come on in the ring. Like, he had a face of concern. And if you can bottle up magic and sell it on your own, you want to talk about putting over a fucking guy. Here's Lesnar, who doesn't lose to anybody, who doesn't care who gets in the ring with him. He's just an ass-kicking machine. And here comes one guy down the ramp, and Lesnar is concerned. He did a lot of that at the Rumble. I don't know if you heard my episode about that. I actually did a live play-by-play of Lesnar's portion of the Rumble. And body language, facials, the facial he made when Keith Lee came out. Like, who the fuck is this fucking guy? Just how impressed he seemed by this talent coming out.
In that moment, Keith Lee became a bigger star. Why? Because Brock Lesnar, love him or hate him, he's been booked as an unstoppable guy. And how do you make Drew McIntyre seem bigger? How do you make that moment seem bigger? If he was beating Roman Reigns, who gives a crap?
Right.
But he's going to Brock Lesnar, because he's important, it by facto makes Drew McIntyre important.
Especially at that portion of the Rumble when Lesnar was cleaning house and wiping his ass with the whole first half of that Rumble, and then to be eliminated by this fucking behemoth, which, by the way, my wife was stunned. Drew's bigger than Brock. He's got the fucking size advantage here. Hard to be the beast when there's a larger animal sitting in front of you.
For sure. I liken it to Brock is a dishwasher and Drew McIntyre is a refrigerator. You know what I mean? Like one is just taller, the other one's just as wide, but maybe a little bit more stout.
Yeah. Stout. Like this beer in my hand. Ah, stout. So you're excited for WrestleMania thus far?
100% excited.
Are there any other matches that you see being built that draw your interest, that you're looking forward to?
I really hope that they add something from NXT, whether it be something with Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole. I would love to see that on the WrestleMania card as well. I would love to see them do a, you know, maybe a 2 out of 3 falls, you know, some on TakeOver and then parlay it into WrestleMania. Something like that, I don't know, but they have to. That's what I want to see. I want to see someone from NXT that isn't already booked on the card, associated with a established superstar. I want to see the young guns break that ceiling a little bit. I want to see, you know, if not that, I want to see guys like Andrade and Angel Garza. I want to see guys like that get a spot that isn't a schmoz in a battle royal or a meaningless thing on the pre-show. And it's been proven. Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak, somebody that no one, unless you're...
What a match.
Yes, if you only watch Raw and SmackDown, you would likely not really know what Drew Gulak is about. But when put in the right context with the right opponent, body language and wrestling is a universal language. Everyone responded to that match. I don't know a single person who didn't walk away from that match going, man, Drew Gulak is really good. Man, Daniel Bryan is really good. And if they know Drew Gulak before, they certainly do now.
So and I think that speaks to the body language too. Bryan, at the end of that match, selling it like he basically went through a fucking war with this fucking guy.
Yeah, for sure. Making it meaningful. That spot where he's doing the handstand and then, you know, Gulak just drives his head into the mat. Just subtle, smart things that they put into that matchup makes Drew Gulak important. Daniel Bryan, arguably one of the biggest stars WWE has, even though I don't think that they've necessarily used him as effectively as they could. This is an example of doing exactly what they should do with their established stars. Drew Gulak is a better performer now because of being in the ring with Daniel Bryan. That's the thing that people miss. When you don't, you're not going to get any better wrestling or performing or competing to extend it to sports at people at your same level.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have these people in positions to learn from people who are better than them at their craft so they can learn things. And that was that case, and I think both performers are better for it. It'll keep Daniel Bryan hungry, and it'll make Drew Gulak seem more palatable to the audience.
I hate to be that guy, but I think CM Punk said it best when he was, you know, talking about the people who were throwing in his face, well, you're not a draw. Well, how do you know? Because I needed the experience of a performer either equal to or better than myself on the main event level so I could further be a better asset to the fucking company. You are the people who are in charge of who gets over. I'm not over because you have not put me in the position to be over. If you're going to put me in that position and give me a legitimate chance, then I could do that. Drew Gulak is one of those performers, and I'm going to be honest, I've worked with him. I think he's a fantastic talent. He's a niche. He is a niche performer. If you put him in the right position, he can make you a ton of fucking money. He can if you put him in the right spot. But if you don't know what that spot is, or if you're fumbling around to figure out how you're going to use him, then you're wasting everyone's time. And I thought that the display that they put on at Elimination Chamber was exactly how he should be used moving forward. I love the PowerPoint deal. That's fine. It's very WWE you know, the little side gimmick with the PowerPoints. I love, obviously, the creativity from him walking around telling people that Daniel Bryan has over 163 different weaknesses, and he starts throwing out numbers. Well, take weakness number 17A, his roundhouse kick. Like, what the fuck? Like, you could tell he has a brain on him, and he's very creative, but there's something about him, I think, that rubs him the wrong way, rubs casuals the wrong way. But in that situation, like you saw Elimination Chamber, when he's in there with a guy like Daniel Bryan, that can change perception. And let's be honest, perception is what matters. Hardcore wrestling fans are going to bitch and complain about this WrestleMania card until they're blue in the face. But for the people who flip through the channels, for the people who love the nostalgia stuff, this is really the card for them.
For sure. I think last year's WrestleMania was such a feel-good moment throughout the entire thing that, you know, some people now are seeing it as, oh, well, you know, I'm not getting everything I want. I got everything I want last year. I got Kofi. I got, you know, all those feel good moments. I got the women's main event. It was fantastic. The whole thing was feel good. Now, you know, people are souring.
Vince is like, my turn.
Yeah, Vince is like, look, trust me to do something here. And that's the problem that I have with a lot of fans, per se, and a lot of people in the wrestling community. It's they judge a story a quarter of the way through. You can't judge a story until you see the whole. Once you see the blow off and you go, wow, yeah, that was dog shit. Right. Then I'm a little bit more, you know, inclined to go, okay, well, yeah, I saw the whole story. I can judge it by that. There can be things you don't like throughout the story, but don't judge the whole storyline as garbage before you get to the end. Just be verified. Trust that. Let them tell the story, because as much as people say we don't have any influence on things and we don't have an influence on that, they don't listen to us, it's because we don't know what we want, one, and two, to assume that what you want is what everyone else wants is an arrogance that is so pathetic, it borders on disrespect.
I'm not going to say his name, but one of the, there's an old timer who gave this piece of advice to me a long time ago, because I too thought I knew the business before I got into it. I thought I did. And I had to learn when I got in, you know, what the ins and outs really are, especially when it comes to things like booking and promoting and putting stories together and all that stuff. And one of the things that he told me, and I will never forget it, it has stuck with me until the end of time. And he told me straight out, he said, people who don't know anything about the business, when they criticize booking, they're not criticizing your booking because it's a bad booking decision. They're criticizing your booking because it's not what they like. That's it. People who don't know the business complain about booking decisions, not because it was a bad decision, but because it's something they don't like. If you don't know what you're doing, you can only go based on your instinct and what you know, and what you know is not a universal thing. Just like you illustrated just now, you said it perfectly just now. Not letting things play out, not letting things digest. The reason why they don't do that is because they sit down and they watch the way that you start your storyline and they say, I wouldn't book it that way. So they tune out immediately. So of course it's going to come out shit in your eyes because you killed it the minute you saw it. Because it's not something you would do. So because you wouldn't do it, it's bad.
Of course, and it's like, if you could do it better, what are you doing talking about it? Go do it.
Sitting at home. Right, exactly. You're leaving money on the table. Go submit your ideas to your local indie. See how that works out for you. That's it. Just buy a ticket. Go in and talk the booker's ear off, like most of these people try to do. See how far that gets you.
It's not going to. You might as well just start your own.
Don't say that out loud, because that's what fucking people do now.
Fair enough. Hey, look, if it's another place for people to get paid, you know.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, no, that, you know, that's the funny thing about it too. Like when I first really started doing this, you know, you've been experienced enough now. You've been doing this quite a while yourself. But like when I first started seeing these new companies pop up, I would get pissed off, because I'm like, my first instinct is, doesn't that kind of dilute the business? Doesn't that kind of bring down the quality and blah, blah, blah? Because these people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But once I learned the power of the money mark money and what that really brings to your wallet, you know, that you can, if you're listening to this and you're a dollar store promoter and you're casting your W-2s and bought a ring and you're wondering why you're getting all this high priced talent in your locker room and they're not drawing a fucking dime for you, the reason is because they're taking your fucking money, you idiot. They don't care about your fucking promotion because your promotion is shit. That's usually how that tends to work itself out. You can always tell how good your promotion is based on how hard your top talent is working for you.
How hard they share your stuff.
Yeah, how share your stuff, how hard they root for you, how hard they put your brand out there.
When they show up, do they prioritize your booking over perhaps another one?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way. It's a good way.
Especially when they get those former WWE superstar, blah, 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 blah. They're taking your money, you fucking idiot. They're not pumping your fucking flyer. They're not fucking doing any of that shit. They're taking your fucking money.
Also, why would somebody who works for, say, 20 different independent wrestling companies as a talent, there's no way that they can put 100% into 25 different companies.
It is not viable at all. Especially if you're one of those promoters that likes to book talent, like piggyback talent. You know, when they like, they find a hot guy from another company, so they overpay for him just to get him on the card. It doesn't really work out for him.
Like, oh, I wonder why. They're not good.
It's like,
you know,
wait a second. Hey, how come you're not promoting our shit? Because fuck you, that's why. What the fuck does it matter? Just give me the fucking money and shut the fuck up.
Just pay me.
Just,
yeah, okay, I'll be there.
Or my personal, I know we're getting off on a fucking tangent here, but still, my personal fucking favorite, the fake-ass Vince McMahons, the people who, they hit you up, oh, I love your work, you know, we have a booking available, and you're like, yeah, sure, and then they start pitching all these different creative ideas for you.
Yeah, it just shows me, if I'm a talent, you've seen nothing I've done, if you're trying to change.
I love what you do, but can you cut your hair? Get the fuck out of here, are you for real?
I love what you do, but let's change all that. Right, I'm going to make you a big star.
That
works.
I love your stuff, but we're going to change your clothes, your hair, your name, your moveset. We're going to change all that when you get here. So what are you, fucking NXT? You're going to fucking repackage me? What the fuck is this bullshit? I have literally seen people do that. They're just like, oh, what you're fucking doing, man, but just we're going to change this, and it's fucking everything. You're like, shut the fuck up.
It goes back to what you said about perception. The reason why WWE can get away with it is because money can create perception.
Yeah.
The bookers don't necessarily have the money to change perception.
Mm-mm. No, and I think a lot of talent sometimes loses out because because the WWE is the top promotion, there's this ideal loss that somehow the talent's not in charge of this shit anymore. What, guys, gals, you're still running the show. You really are. You're an independent contractor. You're free to do whatever you'd like with your fucking self. Except for these moron mark wrestlers who sign actual contracts with indie companies. That's hilarious.
That boggles the mind.
That's hilarious. Did you really sign a document stating you'd get $40 on a hot dog every fucking show? Are you for real?
For 3 years?
Yeah. A 3-year exclusive deal where I'll be getting paid in Pathmark coupons. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's worth gold.
Yeah, right. Hell, watch, when Pathmark comes back, we'll see who's laughing then.
Ooh, I'll double my hot dog intake.
Yeah, worry. Ballpark Franks all around. They're on me, guys. Fucking hell. Anyway, yeah, Mania, right? Coronavirus. Good show. This is a bit of a fun show. We're talking about impending death, postponements. Domestic violence. Is there anything we didn't hit? Is there an incest thing we can run by real quick?
The only thing we didn't hit is the people out there in the store right now buying toilet paper.
No. Oh, well, there you go.
Who don't, mind you, who don't need it.
Well, I'm glad they stocked up on toilet paper because when the time hits, they're really going to find out how full of shit they really are. So, anyway, yes, that is our episode. Steve, Mr. Stephen James, thank you so much for joining me in this discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
It's cool to sit here at night and actually have a conversation with somebody. I'm getting used to this now. I'm going to have to keep rolling with this. This has been fun. Would you be willing to accept an invite back, sir?
Anytime. Anytime you can call on me. Anytime the House of O, the Pod of O, the Uncensored Mind, anytime the people demand it, anytime you demand it, I'll be there for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate that so much. There's so many. The beautiful part about this setup is now I'm open to so many different people, because I used to have so many cancellations because of travel and you know, the time. You've been to my home before. You know how it is to get over here. It's very, very tough. So I'm glad I have this option now. The audio sounds great. I had so many misconceptions about how this worked. I'm so glad I'm doing it, because now I can have way more conversation with you, way more conversation with people that I know I will enjoy speaking to. And when the time comes and I get to go live, my squad of O can chime in. So this is going to be really, 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 really fun. I have to figure out how to get multiple calls at once on this program.
Ooh, we can talk a little bit later about that, because I know of a couple of programs that could do it. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, look at that. See, I told you guys, he's my wizard. He is my wizard to my Oz. So, again, guys, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Stephen, for joining on the show here. This has been episode 131. I don't know what the hell I'm going to call this. We'll see how creative I get when I'm a lot more awake. So thank you for downloading. Thank you for liking. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying episode 131.
Don't not pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUN. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy show. He's the best, so I don't know.